This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Welcome everybody to Comics in Black and White for Tuesday, July 10th. In this episode, I'm going to be discussing Mouse Guard, which is recommended by one of our patrons, Ed Moore. If you would like to be able to recommend things for future podcast episodes, you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/comicsinblackandwhite. And I will reach out to my patrons on a regular basis for suggestions for the podcast. Ed suggests I read Mouse Guard. I had already read a couple volumes of Mouse Guard, so I checked them back out from the library, kind of reviewed them again. I'd also received a couple of free comic book day copies of Archaea offerings that both include a Mouse Guard story, so I'll discuss those a little bit too, and a little bit of what else Mouse Guard has to offer. So Mouse Guard is created by David Peterson. He does the writing and the art, the whole nine yards with Mouse Guard, and it definitely shows. I'm always drawn to things that are done by one creator. You see a cohesiveness to the work that you don't see as much when multiple people are involved in it, unless they're just really on point with the same focus. But there's just something about when one person's doing the whole thing and perhaps they don't have certain time pressures and stuff because they're able to work on it, creating it their own place, and then get it out there when they're ready to. We definitely see that with Peterson's work here. The first thing that drew me into Mouse Guard is the artwork. It's very enticing. There's texture, and there's layers, and there's details. The coloring, just everything about it kind of makes it easy to draw you in. Mouse Guard centers around animal characters, so I know for some people that's something that'll turn them off to a comic story. For me, that doesn't really turn me off so far. The thing that made it a little more difficult for me to get into Mouse Guard is that it's rooted in a fantasy universe. Fantasy stories aren't typically they're not my niche. They're not the main thing I'm going to be drawn to. So, like, I'll like stuff that's fantasy, but fantasy just isn't kind of my default where it's easy for me to get into fantasy stuff. It takes me a little more work to get into stuff in the fantasy genre. But one thing I will say about Mouse Guard, having finally gotten over that burden and read it, is that when you do get into it, it's easier to get into than a lot of fantasy stuff I have read in the past or tried to check out. There's definitely a lot of kind of built-up mythology in it. I think with any fantasy stuff, you have a little element of an assumed understanding of stuff, even if it's right at the beginning, because you're going to kind of pick it up as you go. The first volume of Mouse Guard, Fall 1152, centers around a story where three of the mice from the Mouse Guard are going to find a missing merchant. But on their journeys to find this missing merchant, they uncover some treachery that is afoot. There are traitors in the midst of the Mouse Guard. Throughout the story, not only are they uncovering the scheme, but you have other great adventures. And one of the things I think makes Mouse Guard really fun is they'll have battles with other animals. Like the first one in this book is they battle a swarm of crabs. And just the way it's presented makes it much more fierce and threatening than it could be presented. You know, cute little mice battling crabs could be done pretty lightheartedly, you know, but here there's a real element of threat. One of the mice has to sacrifice themselves so another mouse can get away in this fight with the crabs. Throughout this book, which centers mostly on the discovery of the treason and the eventual showdown with the traitors. The book comes to a head with that showdown. That's pretty much the center of the story with this one. So there isn't a lot of side adventures. The mice get captured at one point, and it's definitely a very good book. But Winter 1152, the next book, is the one that I enjoyed it quite a bit more. In this one, there's still a treasonous story involved, but it's winter and supplies are running short, and so some of the mice for the Mouse Guard have to go for a meetup to get supplies. And along their journey, they're fighting all kinds of peril. There's a great fight with an owl that takes up that goes through most of the story. The mice end up having to split up to try to get the job done. Two of the mice are dealing with the owl. The other two mice end up finding themselves in an abandoned weasel territory. And throughout their journeys there, they end up coming across a whole bunch of bats. And so they have a showdown with the bats. And the way that all presented is just great. It's creepy and dark and everything you would want. The battle with the owl, same thing. The owl has a messed up eye that's all red. It definitely, like, both things are very menacing. And, like, you really feel the threat. And throughout all this, they discover that the weasel kingdom that has been abandoned came right up to their well. So they didn't even realize how close the weasels were to their kingdom. And throughout the story, the traitor is trying to poison the water, and she succeeds in poisoning the water. But fortunately, the silver lining of the weasel kingdom having been so close to their kingdom is that their well has cracked open and is mixing with the water that flows through the weasel kingdom, so the poison is being washed away. So she wasn't successful in poisoning all the other mice. This story also introduces the Black Axe, and in the end of the story, the Black Axe dies, and that mantle is passed on to another one of the mice. By the end of this, I was definitely interested in reading more, especially learning more about the Black Axe. One of the other volumes that is available by Doug Peterson is the Black Axe. He's also announced the plans for a series called The Weasel War, but there's been no more to come out about that. Outside of that, there's also the Legends of the Guard series that is involving other creators, so it's not just David Peterson. And there's a collection called Baldwin the Brave and Other Tales that collects 5 Free Comic Book Day stories into one collection. So those are all the different things that are available for Mouse Guard. The 2 Free Comic Book Day stories that I had gifted to me that I will be making available to you, the listener, in a contest that will be announced at the end of the podcast. One is from 2012. These are from Archaea, so it's not just Mouse Guard. This one also includes stories from Labyrinth, Return of the Dapper Men, Rust, Cursed Pirate Girl, and Cowboy. And this story is the tale of Baldwin the Brave. It's presented as puppetry, so a story being told to an audience with puppets. And it's a pretty good little story of Baldwin going and helping a town that is giving in to evil, basically. They're just afraid of everything. And first he stands up to a goose that is coming in eating their harvest. He catches it in the rope for a bell, and then the goose, trying to struggle free, rings the bell, which attracts a wolf, which eats the goose, which saves their harvest. And then he comes across a fair female mouse and wants to go and ask for her hand in marriage. And in asking around about her, he finds out that everybody is too afraid of being turned away to go and talk to her. So Baldwin goes and talks to her, and she was just about to commit suicide because nobody would talk to her. So he wins the fair maiden in that way and saves her life. And at the end of the book, the wolf returns and gets tangled in that rope, and all the other mice just want to leave the wolf to strangle itself in the rope. But Baldwin will have none of that, and he arms himself, and all the other mice follow suit. They go, they kill the wolf, they save their city, and in the end, he becomes mayor, and they change the town slogan from evil prevails to evil prevails if good mice do nothing. So that's a nice little story, definitely enjoyable. The other story I liked more because it shed some more light on the Black Axe. It's called The Tale of the Axe Trio. This is from the 2014 Archaea Free Comic Book Day offering, and also includes stories from Rust, Labyrinth, Bolivar, Will-o'-the-Wisp, and Farscape. This story is great. It goes across the lineage of the Black Axe to an extent. And the fourth axe, whose name is Orin, had his time cut short. He was drowned trying to evacuate the last residents of a town that was being flooded. He had three identical daughters that took the mantle of the Black Axe, and they all have different strengths. One of them is smart at outmaneuvering her opponents. The other one is fierce and fearless and will run straight into the jaws of their opponent to bring them down. And the third one, she thinks herself lesser than the other two because she doesn't have those two strengths. But she is concerned about her sister's safety, especially after losing her father. So she has a defensive prowess that has saved not only her sisters but other mice on many occasions. And they all work together to be the Black Axe. And they add a level of mystique to the Black Axe by striking in a way instead of striking all at once where it's clear that there's more than one of them. They strike in a way that makes it seem like the Black Axe is all places at once. I thought this was a great story to build the mythology of the Black Axe. And it just made me want to read the next volume of the Mouse Guard series, The Black Axe, even more. So I enjoyed Mouse Guard quite a bit. I definitely recommend it to anybody. I always love things that are done by one creator like that, where you can see just the love in all the details. I think David Peterson did a great job of this book. It took me a little while to get into it because the kind of fantasy starting point of it is always a little bit of a barrier for me to overcome myself. Fantasy and sci-fi are both kind of that way. But once I got over that and got into it, I enjoyed it quite a bit. So I recommend checking Mouse Guard out to anybody. Thank you, Ed, for recommending Mouse Guard. I also learned more from just a brief conversation with Ed than I did from looking around a little bit on the internet about Mouse Guard and kind of how it's been released and stuff like that. There's a lot out there. The Wikipedia page, I believe I looked and it was like 5 or 6 years since it's been updated. So not a lot of information out there to find out the details of stuff. But definitely check out Mouse Guard. Aside from that, I haven't been able to imbibe in comics too much this week. It's been a busy week. It was the 4th of July holiday, so that had me tied up with family for a few days of quite a few planned activities. That was great. But then right after that, I got very ill and was as sick as I've been for years. And I'm right on the tail end of that. So hopefully it doesn't reflect too poorly in this podcast. But I'm just barely recovering. I did read two new comics that I picked up. I have not often picked up comics off the shelf in the last year or so. So this is the first time that I just decided here and there, I'm just going to grab a comic and see what I think, different ones I've heard about. The first one is Multiple Man. It was written by Matt Rosenberg. The artist is Andy McDonald. Color artist is Tamara Bonvillain, and is lettered by VC's Travis Lanham. This was a fun book to read. It centers around Jamie Madrox, Multiple Man. But this is a multiple of Madrox. Madrox Prime is dead, apparently. One of the things I enjoy the most about this is some of the characters in this that I just haven't seen a lot of other places. Like Strong Guy. You got Beast in here. I mean, he's a bigger character that you've seen elsewhere. You get Ilyana in here. Bishop. It is tying a lot of these characters together that I haven't seen a whole lot in the reading that I've done. The story is interesting. It has a feel to me like Ivar Timewalker did for Valiant, where they're doing kind of interesting stuff, but it also just kind of loses me, especially the end of the issue. Just starts to get pretty crazy. All sorts of characters that are just versions of Madrox come into it. It was definitely a fun read, but this is the type of story that I know for me, I need to be able to sit down and read the whole thing at once to really be interested in it. And on a month-to-month basis, it'll kind of lose me. But I don't think that'd be the same for everybody, especially people who are better versed in what's going on currently with Marvel or have deeper interest in some of the characters involved in it. So if you have any inclination to check it out, I definitely give a thumbs up for checking it out. For me, I'm going to hold off till it's done, and then I'll read the whole thing again in one big sitting. The other one I got has a similar feel to me, where I will wait until it's all out to read the rest of the story, but it was also quite interesting. It is Cosmic Ghost Rider, written by Donnie Cates. The artist is Dylan Burnett. Color artist is Antonio Fabella, and the letterer is VC's Clayton Cowles. I was really lost at the beginning of this because I had no clue that apparently the Punisher died, went to hell, and then became the Ghost Rider and went and got cosmic powers and then went and did something with Dana. I don't even know. It kind of lays it out in the first few pages, but even with it being laid out, I have no clue of any of these goings on. So I started off very lost. But it fills you in on what's going on as the issue goes on. So it does a good job of that, even if you haven't read any of this before. You jump to Valhalla, and Frank Castle's in Valhalla, and he's getting in a fight with a god, and Odin's not too happy with him, so they have a chat. They lay out a lot of kind of what's happened right there. And then Odin kicks him back out of Valhalla as this cosmic Ghost Rider again, but says that he'll send him wherever he wants to go. So he goes back to Titan when Thanos was a baby. And that's kind of where the story takes it. I don't want to tell you everything that happens at the end. I look forward to reading this when I can sit down and read the whole thing. It's interesting. It's colorful. The art's just fun. I really love the colors in the book especially. So it's a fun one to check out. Once again, for myself, I'll wait to read the whole thing until it's all available. But if you have any inclination towards it, I definitely say that there's nothing that that should deter you from checking it out. So those are the two comics I've read. As soon as I finish recording this episode, I hope to be diving deep into the Black Hammer universe. So far, I've read the first trade of Black Hammer, but with a Comixology sale, and boy, do I love good Comixology sales, I was able to pick up the first and second volume of Black Hammer for $2 each because they were having a sale on those to begin with, and then they had a Dark Horse 50% off code. But then I was also able to pick up all the available issues of Dr. Star and Sherlock Frankenstein, basically everything else that Jeff Lemire has done in that Black Hammer universe for 50 cents an issue. Then I also picked up for $1 an issue all the issues of Gideon Falls that was available, which isn't Black Hammer, but it's also Jeff Lemire. So I'm going to be reading all those soon and hopefully talking about them quite a bit by next week. So until then, to enter the contest for these two free Comic Book Day volumes, this will only be available to those within the continental United States because I can't afford to ship it out of the United States. So sorry to any international listeners. But you can still partake in what it takes to enter the contest. And if you win, then maybe I'll find something else to reward you with. So all you have to do is retweet the podcast. All retweets I get between now and the end of July will be entered to win one of these free Comic Book Day issues. So that's all you have to do is retweet. At the end of the month, I'll compile all the retweets and I will pick two at random. And then I'll contact you via Twitter to offer you your prize. So do that. Retweet the podcast. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/comicsinblackandwhite. By becoming a patron, you'll be reached out to for influences on what I talk about on the podcast. Like Ed recommended that I read Mouse Guard, so I dove into Mouse Guard to talk about for an episode. You'll be able to do the same if you become a patron. You can tweet me on Twitter at Who's Paul. You can tweet the podcast at CBW Podcast. Also go to NerdyLegion.com to check out this podcast and many other great Nerdy Legion podcasts, including Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World, which is myself along with Michael Sparkman, also of the 2BT podcast. And that is one that we release once a month, and we talk about a variety of things, but we each bring a topic now involving a book, music of some sort, and some kind of video of some sort, whether it be movie, TV show, whatnot. So check out that podcast, many other great podcasts. The free Comic Book Day issues were provided to me thanks to Dennis from the Best of the Rest podcast. So check that podcast out to hear Dennis's takes on comics along with Jay. That is it for this week. So until next time, check out Mouse Guard. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you think. And hopefully next time we'll be talking some Black Hammer. We jazz like that. We freak like that. We zoom like that. We out. We out. We out.